ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरय नस्तप्रेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Long time no see. Okay, I found that verse about let's see, about the four sampradaya from Padma Purana. You all have that? No? Let's see how good the technology is. I'll try and email you all now. I'm going to send it to Seattle. There's 19 people here. I don't know who are they in the Bhagavad Gita list. Let's see.
There's also a mailing list called Seattle Bhakti Vaibhava.
No, but I must have it, no? Otherwise it won't work.
I'm not there.
List to see.
Send that forward.
Yeah, these are pretty much. Yeah, some are. Yeah, Madhav Gopinath. These are all there.
Okay. Your son needs to calm down a bit. What's your email address?
Radhika Gopinath Das at Gmail.
Radhika Gopinath. Gopinath or Gopinatha?
Gopinath.
At?
Das at Gmail.
Gmail. Oh, Das also. Gopinath. Das or Dasa?
Das.
At Gmail. Okay. Now, I'm not sure if everyone will receive, because some of your emails may have changed. Okay. And those who didn't get, or you can forward it among yourselves. Yes. Okay, so I'm going to send it. Yes, it's done.
Got it.
Huh?
Got it.
Well, he's got the all the latest technology. So you got it?
Yeah.
I sent. Oh, you don't have your computer. Okay, so verse is from Padma Purana. It's Sampraya Vihina Mantraste Nishvala Mataha Sadanogaina Siddhayanti Koti Kalpashtairavi. If mantras are not received in a traditional lineage, that's a spelling mistake there, or sampradaya, they are fruitless. By practicing such mantras, one cannot achieve perfection even in a very long period of time. Of course, Maha Mantra still will help you. Atha kalau bhavishyanti chatvaraha sampradayinaha Shri Brahma Rudra Sanaka Vaishnava Shiti Pavanaha. In order to get perfection from the mantra, one must receive initiation from a guru of an authorized lineage or sampradaya. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, as far as Vaishnavism is concerned, there are four eternal sampradayas, namely Shri, Brahma, Rudra and Sanaka. Now, Sanaka refers to Sanaka Kumar. So the four Kumaras, one of them. And then Ramanujam Shri Sri Chakre Madhvacharyam Chaturmukha Shri Vishnu Swaminam Rudro Nimbadityam Chatusanaha. So this verse is... Hare Krishna. It's all in the Shastra. So that's why people cannot say they are bona fide. This is only bona fide. Okay. Now you feel happy. Bhagavatam predicts Kalki avatar, so. No, Padma Purana is written by. Anyway, it's written by Vedavyas. He is Tri Kala Gyan, so he knows. Okay, so I just wanted you all to have that. Alright, so today we will go to chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service. Vyasa Vacha Iti Samprashna Samristo Vipranam Romaharshanahi Pratipuja Vajastesham Pravaktum Upachakrame. Ugrashrava is another name for Sutta Goswami. So Ugrashrava Sutta Goswami, the son of Roma Harshana, being fully satisfied by the perfect questions of the Brahmanas, thanked them and thus attempted to reply. So they asked him 6 questions, so he will attempt to answer 6 questions. So in the second chapter, there's description of 3 items. It's the process, abhideya, then talks about bhakti, which is, and then it talks about the goal, prayojanam, and then prema, okay, which is the goal. And finally, it talks about the object of worship, the Supreme Lord Bhagavan Krishna. Okay. We'll go to text 2. Sutta Vacha. This is meter is Brahma Samhita. Yam pravrajantam anupetam apeta krityam dvaipayano viraha katara ajuhava putreti tanmayatayatara govinedus tam sarvabhuta ridayam munimanatosmi. Sri Sutta Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances onto that great sage, Shukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. when he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher castes, his father, Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, "O my son, indeed only the trees which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation echoed in response to the bereaved father." So here is a very nice description of the birth of Sukadeva Goswami. As soon as he was born, as I said yesterday, he left home. So Vyasadeva wanted him to undergo the reformatory process. Generally, most Brahminical culture, you do that. So many different samskars and so on. But Sukadeva Goswami was already a liberated soul. So once you are liberated, you don't really need to go to any of these things. Again, having said that, we may go through those reformatory process for what reason? Yes. So to set good examples, we will do that, even if we are liberated. So in his case, he's a special category, so he just walked out of the home. And then Vyasadeva was worried because he was thinking, I have so much to teach him. Particularly he wanted to teach the Bhagavatam to him, but his son was not interested. He was liberated. He just wanted to get out from the ashram. So as he was going, he called out his son, "Oh, my son, my son." At that time, the trees echoed the sound, "Oh, my son." So he said that even the trees were attracted to Sukadeva Goswami. And they felt he was also dear to them. So they were all saying, "Oh, my son." That's one way thinking of it. And then the other thing is, it is also said, I think Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna talks through the trees also and says, "Oh, my son." Krishna is also talking to Sukadeva Goswami and saying, calling him out to him, "Oh, my son." Yes. That was kind of interesting. So, in the second paragraph, I gave you a summary, but let's look at what Prabhupada actually says, right? Now, let's go to the first paragraph. In the third sentence, he says, "The sacred thread is a sign of those who are competent to study the Vedas from the Acharyas or the bona fide spiritual master." So, taking second initiation sacred thread means you are qualified to study the Vedas. Nowadays, we get second initiation because, generally for duty, but the reason the Guru gives is because you are, you may have some Brahmical qualification, but in ISKCON we give because you have strong faith, nishtha, okay, to Guru. You must exhibit that, at least that principle. But of course, different spiritual masters have different criteria. The way they test your nishtha is through certain exercises, right? Your Guru will say, "Okay, after 5 years I'll give you." So if you are not patient, then he can say you're not qualified. And if you're patient, then you're qualified. Then he may give you another test. And some Gurus will tell you to go and study Bhakti Shastri. It's like that. So everyone has different criteria. Because when you study all these things, then you must develop nishtha. At least that much you must have. And then once you attain that, that means once you're fixed, means you will do deity worship in a fixed conscience. It's not don't think deity worship is not important. It's very important, particularly in Kali Yuga. So if you can't do the service, then you somehow practice and do something that you have the ability to go and do some deity worship. Okay, so you, one has to be second initiated in order to study Vedas. Okay, and then now Prabhupada said, generally a man is born as an ordinary being, and by the purificatory processes, he is born for the second time. Okay? So, that's why they say dvija, twice birth. Okay? So, it means first time you are born from your family, parents give birth. Second birth is when you take second initiation or getting by initiated by the guru. So, your spiritual master and the Vedas are your mother. Okay? So, it becomes like that, spiritual initiation.
Okay? Well, I was thinking, the sacred thread is a sign of those who are competent to study the Vedas. Means traditionally,
they are competent.
That means,
in the old system,
till you get the sacred thread, you are not allowed to study Vedas? Or
you cannot chant the mantras. All the mantras starts with the Om. Right. So the Om cannot be chanted by someone who is not a Brahmin. Theme, all those root mantras.
But that also you would get the sacred. First is you have to be born a Brahmana, that is clear. But even the sacred thread is given after a certain age.
Who said first you have to be Brahmana?
Sorry?
No.
No, I mean,
the sacred thread is you get either Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishyas can take sacred thread. No. So why are you saying must be born a Brahmana? Where you got this?
I have seen Kshatriya, but it was not clear.
Not clear. So, say you're not clear. Okay. What?
So they can be in any of the three and also after a certain age, right? When they
not necessarily. Usually, at 5 years old, at that time they will go to the ashram and then they will be considered what their modes and nature is, and accordingly the guru will initiate them. And then through all the practices and regulations, they are deemed qualified to chant the mantras. So they will be given the second initiation. So that's actual correct. Nowadays they do all this. This age do this, this age, but they don't know whether the guy is qualified or not. After he takes a Brahmin initiation, he goes and works for somebody. So that is not Brahmin. You understand? Brahmanas don't work for anybody. They only beg. Bhiksham, Behi.
Is there any difference between the sacred thread for Kshatriya Vaishya compared to, because this we have called Brahminical initiation, right?
They are also Brahminical initiation.
For Vaishya?
Yeah. They can chant the Vedas, they chant. Right? Otherwise how Arjuna can do all those things and then get all the mantras and so on.
Yeah.
To fight. We must be able to chant. Right?
So it is the same thing. No difference.
No difference. But Brahminical means that is what it is. But for someone who becomes Brahmin, it's different. He doesn't do the functions. He has no interest in those kind of functions.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a different thing. So he studies and he teaches. So therefore you see Dronacharya could teach warfare.
Yeah.
But he's a Brahmin.
Yeah.
They are more teachers. Spiritually, they'll teach even in warfare how to apply the knowledge of the Vedas for the right purpose, for dharmic purposes. Right? That's like when King Vena was nonsense. Brahmana say, "I've had enough." They killed him. So. Lack of proper understanding, you are confused, but but try to get these things cleared out so you don't get confused. Doesn't mean only Brahmins. This is all smarter influence.
Yes.
But to chant the mantras, you must have Brahminical qualification. Otherwise you can't. Then you also must be in the disciplic succession. Okay? Which I just sent you. Right? You all got it, right, in your email? Must be there, he got it, so. Anyway, if you didn't get the email I sent, just ask whoever has it to forward it to you all. Okay? Okay, so, that is the second birth, we were saying, huh? Second birth. Now, even Even birds are also known as dvija, na? Yeah, because first birth is egg, second birth is breaking from the egg. So it's interesting. But they are not the same like our second initiation. They are also known as the second birth. They also have second birth, not like us. Okay. I just wanted to say in case you come across that, you may come across in your reading, you know, that they may describe a birth as twice born also. Alright, so one approaches a spiritual master for instructions in the Vedas for spiritual progress. That is the system. And now the spiritual master accepts only the sincere inquirer as his disciple. So this is the qualification of disciple. He must be a sincere inquirer. Not anybody, but someone who is very sincere about these things. You have to speak louder, I can't hear you.
Sorry, further in the purport.
Further in the purport.
So if Prabhupada is writing, so the spiritual master takes in a sincere inquirer and then gives him to a sacred thread.
Yes.
In this way he becomes twice born. After qualifying a dvija, one must study the Vedas, and after becoming well versed in the Vedas, one becomes a vipra or a brahmana.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
There are different categories, you know. Dvija, Vipra, you know. Vipra means they become expert in some aspects of the Vedas. Mm-hmm. Brahmanas means they are more focused on the yajna, those kind of things, the rituals. But there the term can be interchangeable also. But sometimes they want to qualify Vipra from the Brahmana. We are already Vaishnavas.
It's just the chanting,
right? Yes, that is all that is. As soon as you take initiation, you are a Vaishnava. But of course, Vaishnava is a very high position. We are practicing, aspiring Vaishnavas like that. Yeah. But that the qualification of Vaishnava is higher than a Brahmana. But a Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana. But he doesn't need to have sacred thread, you know. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to put the smartas and all in place, so therefore he introduced the sacred thread also. That's the reason. So that's why we accept. And then in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada wanted to make sure that there's no distinction, because in Kali Yuga they'll make all kinds of so then he also made sure the women are also given the mantras, but not the thread. So he didn't break the Vedic principle. Chanting mantra is fine, but not making you all like into a man or whatever. Yeah, so yeah, because you can see all kinds of nonsense will come. All kinds of nonsense philosophy is available in Kali Yuga. Whatever you want, you can create here, which cannot exist in previous yugas. If you try, the Kshatriya kings will come and kill you. Chop.
Simply the man carries the thread for the
organization, right? That is in the, yeah.
Six threads.
Anyway, I'm not going to go into all that thing. It's not our... Prabhupada didn't even bother with this.
So, Prabhupada, earlier you were mentioning that this dvija, the brahmanas, they should live by begging alms. So, how about in ISKCON, like, we still have, after taking the second initiation...
Ours is a preaching movement. We are preaching, we are not into all this thing. If you go and beg, who is going to listen to you? Right? Our goals are very high, that we want to give Krishna consciousness, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, you practice those, you know, sama, dhamma, all those things, you know. You practice, you can practice, you know. And you live simply. That's why Prabhupada says simple living, high thing. And whatever you require, Krishna will make arrangement, you know. But the faith must be there, you know, in Krishna and so on, yeah. But that's a good question, yeah. So we cannot go around begging, you know. Srila Prabhupada, when the devotees did Harinam in US and so on the first time, he encouraged them, but they went to India, he said, don't do that in the streets because they will think you guys are beggars. So they won't respect us, yeah. Especially Vaishnavas are very elevated in one sense. So he told them, go and make life members. So that's how the things are different. So there's a reason, you have to understand. In all previous yugas, yeah, when you are respected as a Brahmin, you can see when Sukadev Goswami walks, everybody is very amazed by him and so on. Yeah.
But also, I think in the previous yugas, some Brahminas who could not sustain that level were allowed to have their home and do certain type of.
Yeah, so they are not on the highest level of Brahmins, so they are like vipras and so on, they get paid. So once you get paid, you become, they become more dependent or obligated, so they cannot really speak the truth. Dronacharya, I don't know whether he says, Dronacharya says that, but Bhishma, he says, when Yudhishthira asked him, but why these things happen, he said, I ate in the house of the Kauravas, so I cannot speak. So he was taking a humble position, saying he is very fallen and he is obligated like that. So in one sense he was, because he made a vow also. But try to understand, he is not an ordinary person, he is a Mahajan. So he is playing a part to show what will happen when we become, you know, too attached to certain things, and if you like good food and so on, so Brahmana will always go to that place, and then you become, and they say something and you'll say, yeah, it's okay, Shastra doesn't, you know. Yeah, and then they'll try to help instead of speaking from the scripture. Yeah. Alright, so what I wanted to say was, the spiritual master accepts only the sincere inquirer. That means there's a test. The spiritual master will see how sincere you are. Of course, in our movement, because of Srila Prabhupada, all of us have compassion for others. Even if somebody is not that 100%, still sometimes you find your spiritual master give initiation, hoping that they will come to the standard. But that is compassion, you know. I'm not sure whether you have seen it, no? But at least I know I've seen it. My Guru Maharaj has done that many times. And he would say, I feel sorry for them, I want to give them, and I hope they'll come. And many times they'll come to the standard, and there are one or two will leave, because they cannot maintain the standard. But the main thing is compassion is there. So the spiritual master generally accepts the sincere devotee who wants to take up the process seriously. Like there's a story where Srila Prabhupada talks about this Brahmana boy who comes to this Rishi and say, I want to learn from you. And then the Rishi says, who's your father? And he says, I do not know. Then he says, ask your mother. And then he goes and comes back and says, my mother doesn't know and I don't know. And then he said, you are a Brahmana because you speak the truth. You may say children are very innocent, but you'll find some children will not speak the truth. They'll twist it. Because of nature. You know, the modes of nature will try. A Kshatriya will be too proud to say it, you know, like that. So that way the spiritual master can see who's sincere and who's not sincere. And if you feel you're not sincere, then you better cry. Sit in front of the Lord, chant and cry and ask that your heart becomes soft and you become sincere. And generally in our movement, the first initiation, just in case you all are wondering, is actually enough to go back to Godhead. Brahminical initiation just for doing? Yeah, generally for it. So don't think you are special or whatever. You are special because you have taken up the process, but don't think you are special. Then you are not special. Let others think you are special, but you are not special. It's true, devotees who come to the movement are special people. But you cannot think you are special, because that's not our culture, that's not our philosophy. We don't think like that. We think we are always fallen. Okay? And if you take the second initiation and you don't do deity worship on a weekly basis, then you have a problem also. No, it is true. You have a problem because you don't want to take the advantage of getting close to Krishna and doing service. And if you put all kinds of excuses, then that's what it is. It's just an excuse. Yeah. But if you take the trouble to do it, then that was the first instruction Lord Brahma got, which is? Huh? Yeah, so where is your tapasya then? Right? So you do tapasya, you say it's difficult, but if you take the tapasya to serve the Lord, then wouldn't the Lord reciprocate with us? So that's important also. So that's why we take that extra effort to please the Lord, go up, serve the Lord. Anyway, in your case here, it's not that much deity worship. So you all shouldn't feel so. Some temples, they have to do 8 times service. You know? Yeah, and some temples, they use, I think, I'm not sure by LA, but some temples, 3 times they change outfit. Yeah. That's right, 3 times. And night time. Most temples do 2 times. Yeah. So you have to see, if you have the opportunity to serve the deities, you should go and do it. Otherwise, it's like Prabhupada said, like the, who's that? The rickshawalas in India. So 2 paisa and you wear the thread. Then that's what our qualification is. So if you don't act by not doing brahminical activities, then you're not developing qualities, and therefore you are not a? Okay, so when you get second initiation, what does it mean? You act in the platform of Brahman. Yeah. That means you have the opportunity to become a Brahminical, Brahman. You have the opportunity. You can be trained to be a Brahmin. That means the potential is there. That's why your guru gave you the threat and the mantra. But if you cannot do that, then you are no better than a... Okay, you may be just a Shudra then. So then ask yourself, if your guru gives you, then how are you going to glorify your spiritual master? Right? By not doing that exercise. So this is why the guru feels compassion and accepts the sincere. The guru knows you are sincere, but how lazy he may not know yet. So it's important. I'm just trying to give you some points so you all have to think about, because I'm not going to tell you to do this or that. You take care of your own spiritual life, you know. I mean, of course we will help you, but you have to think about this carefully. So ask yourself where you stand. Are you moving forward as developing brahminical qualities, or you don't have that? And if you don't have that, that's also okay. There's nothing wrong. But be truthful. Yeah, be truthful. Then say, I'm not a Brahmin. My guru gave me, so I'll chant the mantras and I'll do what best I can. That's it. But don't pretend to be in that platform when you're not. So then you'll make advancement. Because if you study carefully in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramananda Rai is considered to be a Shudra. But what was he talking about? Love of God at a very, very confidential level. So try to understand all these things. So it's not what you wear externally, it's in the heart. Okay, so if you cannot do brahminical things, then that's fine. Just say, I can't do. It's not we are so materially motivated that when we take initiation, our goal is, I have to take Brahmin initiation. Goal of life is Brahmin initiation. And some people have even more, like take sannyas and things like that. But that's not the goal, actually. Remember this prayojana, abhideya, all this, sambandha.
Mataji had a question. She's asking that like, some temples where they, like, devotees do not get, they don't allow devotees to go and like in some temples only brahmacharis can get something. Mm-hmm.
That's in India. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So in that case, your second initiator, you're not allowed.
They won't let you in India because of tradition. So you stay here in America and treat. Yeah, why not? Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do nice service. Come here and preach, and there's a lot more preaching you can do here than you go back. So that's what I would say. If you really want to do, stay here and do dressing. You got so much opportunity, go up and do.
Every day
you can do.
I heard like things are changing. Like there is now a lot of people are more inclined towards taking Krishna consciousness in India right now.
I don't know, but I don't know.
Teaching movement is going on.
Yeah, maybe, I do not know. Yeah, but from what I, from my previous experience, I didn't see it, so I was just saying like that. If it is, then it's great. Yeah. Yeah. So let's continue. So we touched on that. So from a brahmana, if he studies further and practices devotional life, he comes to the stage of a Vaishnava. Okay. So Prabhupada says the Vaishnava stage is a postgraduate status of a brahmana. That means very high level, no? So it's very humbling. Because you know where you are at, and when you read statements like that, it's very humbling. And then Prabhupada says, a progressive brahmana must necessarily become a Vaishnava, for Vaishnava is a self-realized learned brahmana. So therefore, you see the emphasis in our movement, we ask you all to study Prabhupada's books. So once you study sufficiently, you will realize what is the goal in life, how you can help others, what you need to know, how you can give others. And that's the goal of a brahmana, right? Study scripture, teach scripture, take charity, give charity, and exchange revelations like that. So these are the brahmanical. So this is what Prabhupada has set it up for us. So charity means you take donation, you give it to? Yeah, give it to Krishna. For preaching purpose like that. That's what it is. Not take and put me in. No. You don't have to worry. Actually, Krishna takes care of all of us nicely. We have to undergo austerity, but you find that whatever He gives, you feel contented with it. Yeah. We don't need many things, actually. You know. For preaching purposes, yeah. Prabhupada used so many things for preaching, but for his own needs, he didn't bother. So, the purificatory processes for personalities like Sukadeva Goswami, they did not need that. Okay? And I want to reiterate, but as devotees, we will go through that for example, to set examples. So people will know we are also doing. Otherwise, if you don't do, immediately you will find some of these people who say, you guys don't do all these samskaras, you are not qualified. They will say like that. So we have all the samskaras are there, set up by Raghunath Das Goswami in the books. So we follow that. You know? Hair cutting, name giving, thread giving, yeah? Even Garbhadan, samskara, all the way to death. That dying is also one samskara. After that, they do a purification and burn your body or whatever. Yeah. Okay? So, Prabhupada says, ultimately the aim of Varnashram Dharma is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of Lord or a Vaishnava. So, his point is, he can do it. Yeah. That's why he's saying that. He can turn a crude man into a pure devotee. And then he says, anyone therefore who becomes a Vaishnava, accepted by the first class Vaishnava, or Uttama Adhikara, is already considered a Brahmana regardless of his birth due to his past deeds. Okay? So it doesn't matter what your past thing is. You take up the process, the pure devotee will guide you back. Okay, so then he quotes the position of Haridas Thakur. Even though he appeared as a Mohammedan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him and put him as the Namacharya. Okay? For the holy name. So then Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse. Kirata Huna Andhra Pulinda Pulkasha Abira Sumba Yavana Kasha. Anyone can be delivered to the highest transcendental position by the mercy of Vaishnava. So that means if we take compassion to other living entities, other people, then we can help them become purified. Okay? And when Sukadeva Goswami was speaking this Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, Suta Goswami was there. And therefore, he is considered to be the instructing spiritual master, Shiksha Guru. Okay. So therefore, in this particular verse, he gives his obeisances to his instructing spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami. Not Diksha. But it doesn't matter. If you follow the instructions, more important than Diksha sometimes. Yeah. Text 3. Vyaswanubhavam akila shruti saram ekam adhyatma deepam atiti tishasam tamundam samsarinam karunayaha puranaguyam tam vyasa sunam upayami gurum muninam. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Sukha, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who, out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most one confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge, after having personally assimilated it by experience. So one thing is, it says cream of Vedic knowledge. Okay. So what is the cream of Vedic knowledge? Vedanta Sutra. So the Bhagavatam is therefore the essence of the cream. Even more refined. Okay. Essence of the cream. And therefore it is the proper right. Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on this cream. So if you just take the sentence, people will think, what is this cream he's talking about? So this cream is actually the summary Vedanta Sutra, which is from the Vedas itself.
What does it mean here? It says, after having personally assimilated it by experience. So what is that experience?
Where is that you are talking about?
Translation last.
Oh, personally assimilated it by experience. That means he realized the teaching is one thing. You learn in theory, right? Then in practice you see it for a fact. So that is personal experience. Yeah.
So he directly came out, and in that particular life he didn't have any personal experience. Right?
How do you know he didn't have?
By his life we saw that as soon as he came out he just went out.
Went to the forest. Then how do you know he didn't experience many things in the forest? What is your understanding of what experience is?
Experience is like you get the knowledge, you put it into practice, and then that becomes.
Sometimes you have to understand, you know, there's a divya gyan also. Okay, the other experience is you see someone doing mistakes, that is experience also. I don't have to go and burn my finger to know fire burns. Right? Yeah, so knowledge from Vedas is Shruti, you hear, you experience it.
It depends on the person.
Yeah.
Just by hearing the experience.
Yes.
It's
liberated. Yes, he realized it.
He realized it when he was in the womb.
He didn't have to go through personally all the difficulties and so on.
Like we have to hear and act to realize, like we are talking.
Yeah, most of us, most of us, you don't say all, but most of us, yeah. Because some of us will accept the statement of scripture and not question it. But if you cannot accept it, then means you need to experience it.
Somewhere Prabhupada says the first class people are those who hear and see that. The second class is like those who see. Third is those who experience it and then they realize. Fourth is even after experiencing they don't follow it.
Yeah, so first class you hear, then you know don't do it. Second class is you hear but still you'll do it. And third class is you hear, you do it and still don't know what's happening. Yeah. Fourth class is you don't even know what is it. Yeah. It's like animal life. Yeah. It's like that. There, yeah, that's basically what it is. Prabhupada says in this particular purport, in the second paragraph, first sentence, there's no point in arguing that a materialistic man can be happy. Okay? It's very important because we tend to go when we preach, we argue so much. Okay, so sometimes we don't have to argue with them. No materialistic creature, be he the great Brahma or insignificant ant, can be happy. Everyone tries to make a permanent plan for happiness, but everyone is baffled by the laws of material nature. So you'll find people who say, I'm always happy in your preaching. I don't know if you encountered. I have encountered people who are very proud. I'm never sad. I'm very happy. So you never got headaches. Never had toothache, never had bellyache, never had diarrhea, like that. You know, how can you say you were always happy? So that's
part of life.
Yeah, so then you were happy having diarrhea?
If you had a choice, would you have it?
Yeah, exactly. So then there's foolishness. That's bewildered, actually. It's because they know they're wrong, they don't accept that. If they say, yes, I'm not happy, then they fall into... Not trap. They have to accept your argument.
Exactly.
It's not a trap, you see. They conceive it of a trap, but...
Yeah, I mean, in the sense that they are thinking that we are...
Actually, they are forming their own traps.
Yeah.
They what?
Actually, sometimes people say that I do want that suffering, otherwise life would be boring. They kind of say so many things like that.
Yeah, but that's all argument, circular argument.
So they don't want to learn this philosophy, they hear about it.
Yes.
Keep doing some reason.
Then you can say that means you are a second class, third class intelligence you have. Then they will say, why then you say a first class person will know not to touch the fire? You like to touch and say, then you like the misery or you suffer. What is your intelligence? You can ask. If you have good relations, you say, you're a fool. No, I'm not saying like that. You can tell them, you are a fool. You say nicely, I like you, you're a nice person, but from this conversation, I can understand you're a fool. Because you are saying you want to experience suffering and all. Isn't it? And how can they argue with you then? If you have the relationship, you should tell like that.
In the class, the devotee was mentioning that he was preaching and then the other person saying, you're actually brainwashing me, why are you doing all this? Then the devotee said, actually you should thank me that your brain is so dirty
that I'm washing you. Yeah.
Yes,
Prabhupada says that.
Brainwashing. First of all, you need to have primary
Yeah, you said that also.
Prabhupada said that also. So we are brain giving, that's what Prabhupada said.
I saw somewhere, somebody had a book, Brain Giving. So. Yeah. Okay, so let's continue. Oh yeah, some other points you all, which I think you all should do is, I want you all to make a chart. This occurred to me, and in the chart you have to put all the different acharyas, and then the Vedanta Sutra they give summary, right? So which acharya wrote which summary on the Vedanta Sutra?
Commentary.
Commentary, yeah. Like.
Like
yeah.
Like
all of them. Sri Bhashya, Govindya Bhashya. So you do those chats so you know and then write what the philosophy behind it is.
You are You said write the philosophy behind that.
Yeah, what is the main philosophy behind each? Yeah.
It's a part of its
life. Okay, so there's like four sampradaya and then plus Sankaracharya is the Mayavadi sampradayas. That's what it is, just that sampradaya.
I know, but
so anything not in the Vaishnava sampradaya is
upper sampradaya.
Is upper sampradaya. But we don't tell the upper, they are just Mayavadis. Okay. Yeah, they are Mayavadi sampradaya. Generally, the whole world is Mayavadi sampradaya. So they are formalized Mayavadi
sampradaya.
No, it's not a fixed sampradaya. Because sampradaya means they lead you back to Godhead. This they don't. Yes, this asampradaya.
Asampradaya.
But we don't tell that. They are Mayavadi sampradayas. That's all.
When you said their philosophy means like you mean to Vishishta Dvaita, like that?
Each acharya has written on the commentary on the way. So you, and then you say what is that, that because there's a slight difference in all our. Yeah, so just mention it briefly in the chat. Anyway, you all should know all this by now. So you all should go and do some research on it. These are your homework, so you should do it. I'm not going to give you the answer. Alright, so another important point is in the last paragraph. Vaishala Prabhupada says how the Bhagavatam is misinterpreted by Mayavadi school. And he said from the first introductory sloka, the beginning student should know that Srimad Bhagavatam is the only transcendental literature meant for those who are Paramahansas. And completely freed from the material disease called malice. Malice means envy. The Mayavadis are envious of the personality of Godhead, despite Sripad Sankaracharya's admission that Narayana, the person of Godhead, is above the material creation. The envious Mayavadi cannot have access to Bhagavatam, but those who are really anxious to get out of this material existence may take shelter of this Bhagavatam because it is uttered by the liberated Srila Sukadev Goswami. It is a transcendental torchlight by which one can see perfectly the transcendental absolute truth realized as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Okay? So, Om Agyana Timurandasya Jananjana Sharakaya. Okay, so that's the torchlight thing. Right, text 4. We chant this before every Bhagavatam class. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tatojayam virayam. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances onto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, onto Nara Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, onto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and onto Srila Vyasadev, the author. The darkest region of material existence. So it is the very means for conquest, Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because the Prabhupada says a living being is in the state of forgetfulness of his relationship with God due to his being overly attracted to material sense gratification from time immemorial. That's what confuses us. So when we are trying to practice devotional life by trying to remember our relationship with Krishna, at the same time there's so much material interaction, we get overwhelmed. And that we get overwhelmed because we pay more attention to material needs than to spiritual needs. So therefore we get overwhelmed. So that, therefore Srila Prabhupada says his struggle for existence in the material world is perpetual. Because the more you focus on material needs, it becomes very difficult. Like if you are swimming in the ocean and then you get tired and say, help me, and somebody comes and throws a rope, you say, you don't catch the rope, but you still swim around the rope. Say, help me. So it's like that, our position. So therefore it is not possible for him to get out of it by making plans, which means procrastination. Right? Making plans means procrastinating, not acting on it. Chant 16 round, tomorrow I'll start. And then tomorrow comes, I have this thing to do, I have that thing to do. Right? Every time some excuse, so procrastinate. So therefore it's not possible to get out by making all these plans. So Srila Prabhupada says, just do it. That's why he says, just do it. Why are you talking about it and dreaming about it? Just do it. Okay? If he at all wants to conquer this perpetual struggle for existence, he must re-establish his eternal relation with God. That is sambandha. And one who wants to adopt such remedial measures must take shelter of literature such as the Vedas and the Puranas. Foolish people say that the Puranas have no connection with the Vedas. However, the Puranas are supplementary explanations of the Vedas intended for different types of men. All men are not equal. So again, you can see if the Vedas are there, but to understand the Vedas, not everyone can read the Vedas. So you need some supplementary book to read. So then Vedavyas wrote the Puranas, so that our ordinary people can hear and understand the same philosophy in the Vedas. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada gives us the hierarchy of these scriptures also. And the reason is, he says, all men are not equal. Okay? There are men who are conducted by the mode of goodness. Okay, here he says, there are men. Why there are men? Because there are people who are not controlled by the modes at all. They are liberated. So therefore, there are men who are conducted by the mode of goodness. And then others who are under the mode of passion, and others who are under the mode of ignorance. Because of this, one cannot accept the Amala Purana easily. So they will only be attracted to their modes. Okay? The Puranas are so divided that any class of men can take advantage of them and gradually regain their lost position and get out of the hard struggle for existence. So therefore, some are attracted to the Puranas which deal with people who are in the mode of ignorance. Some in the mode of passion and some in the... So it's divided into six Puranas, mode of goodness, six Puranas passion, six Puranas people in the mode of ignorance.
That's why Prabhupada is saying that one who wants to adopt such remedial measures must take advantage of the Vedas and Puranas because they cannot take shelter of the Amal form.
Yes. But Bhagavatam should be, they should be able to accept it if they follow a proper spiritual authority. Otherwise, they will follow their own concepts. So Srila Prabhupada then continues. Srila Sutta Goswami shows the way of chanting the Puranas. This may be followed by persons who aspire to be preachers of the Vedic literatures and the Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana and is especially meant for those who desire to get out of the material entanglement permanently. Okay? So if you really want to not take birth again, then you have to really study the Bhagavatam seriously and apply that in the life. Otherwise, you can just follow other Puranas. It gives some, you know, they say worship this demigod, that demigod, get some benefit and like that. Because a lot of time you'll find there are people who don't want to go out of this material world. They're really happy in one sense. And they rather suffer, but they still want to take birth. No? They'll say, oh, we'll take birth again and then suffer some more. It's interesting, but you, I don't know if you have met some people in your preaching, but there are people who want to take birth again and go through the suffering, and they enjoy that. And well, it is like the camel. Chewing the thorn and then tasting the blood and thinking it's so nice, but it's actually tasting its own blood.
There are some who also say this is very nice, but I don't have enough strength to do so much hard work. It takes work to chant and work on yourself.
Yeah, because we are affected by the three modes. Because
I saw one lady who came to the temple. We had that beautiful picture drawn by Prabhupada's disciples, where the soul is going from body to body, and sometimes in the body of a snake, and sometimes in lower forms, and so on. So when I talked about that picture, they said, "Oh, it would be so nice to become a bird in the next life."
That's in Prabhupada's. Prabhupada met some lady like that who was always commenting, "The bird is so nice," and Prabhupada understood this girl was going to take birth as a woman who was going to become a bird in her next life. So he tried to, then finally he told his disciple, give her some prasadam or something. I heard it also, someone was saying like that. So it's sad, when you focus on the wrong things. So people think like that, you know, like people, especially in America, a lot of them think the dog is having a good life.
Because they think they have to work and
yeah, they work and so on. But
if you go to India, Indian, especially Indian, you know, from a village, they think, oh, if you want to become a dog, next life you have to become a dog in America.
Yeah. So you can see, you know, how the consciousness has become. You know, they are suffering so much that they rather be dogs. Yeah. Being human means you have to be responsible for so many things, and therefore they don't want to be responsible. They rather become an animal.
They don't want to do any work.
Yeah, so this means they don't want to become responsible for human life, which means to perform austerities to understand spiritual life, and they don't want that. Rather, they become an animal with no responsibilities, but they don't understand that animal life is full of suffering. They don't understand this thing, you know. It's
yeah, even the pet industry, there is so much suffering for them to be
left there. Oh, most pets, a kid sees TV and they are like a dog, mommy and daddy, and they buy. Then nobody takes care. Then after 6 months, the parents go and drop it in some other neighborhood. So they don't have to, they kill it, right? Oh, I don't want to kill. So they drop it in another neighborhood, the dog runs around. Either car hits or then some neighbor calls the animal shelter or whatever. Yeah, so they come, they catch it and then they bring and they'll say for 1 week, 2 week, nobody claim, they'll put it to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you expect them to do? They can only keep for a certain period. And nobody claims, they'll put it to death. No shelter. No. Dogs in India suffer. Huh?
There is this documentary movie called Earth Links or something. Which very it is described this pet industry and everything, how they do the killing and everything. And probably forward it to people.
In some countries they
it's not that lost, but it's real.
In some countries, they eat the dogs and so on. So, you don't have dogs in the street. Like Philippines and Korea, like that. But I don't know nowadays. They all now graduated to McDonald's. So. Anyway. So, here he's offering respects also to the devatas, presiding deity, so they have authority over the place where Vyasadev wrote the Vedas, Vedavyas. In where did he write? In Badrikashram. So in Badrikashram, Nara Narayan Rishi is there. So therefore, they are the presiding deities of the work, Vedic work, Srimad Bhagavatam and all. And therefore this prayer is there. And the prayer, the devatas or subject of the Bhagavatam is, what is the subject matter? Is Krishna. And Saraswati is the? Yeah. She is actually, no, she is Lakshmi in this case. It's not the goddess of learning. You can say it both ways, but she's also in Brahma Samhita. You'll see that she gives the Krishna mantra to Brahma. Remember, who tells him to do tapa? You never study Brahma Samhita. It's in the verse. It says that, right? When Lord Brahma is bewildered. Who comes and tells him to chant? Saraswati, Goddess Saraswati comes and tells him.
So you're saying here Goddess Saraswati refers to Lakshmi?
It's both. Yeah.
So why is Lakshmi mentioned here in any specific?
Because she is a Shakti. Shakti. That's why it's mentioned. So it refers to both the goddess of learning and in another sense it refers to the Shakti, Lakshmi. Yeah.
So Nara Narayan Rishi, Badrikashram. So I have the fortune to go there and one of his holiness, Sama Krishna Goswami Maharaj, a sannyasi disciple took us there. So we went there on a yatra.
Really?
And he was saying that the axis.
Axis?
The axis of the universe. Is the Naranaran point in Badrik.
Is that right? They also say the. Okay, yeah, it's possible. Axis of the universe is there.
It connects to the higher planets at that point.
Okay, that's possible. And then I've also heard that Radha Damodar temple is at the center of where Rasa go. Goloka Vrindavan or Rasa dance, like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's very nice to know. Axis of the universe.
What would the Naimisharanya we just studied?
The hub.
So, what is the difference between the hub and axis?
It's no difference, no?
Axis is center of the hub, right?
That's what I thought. No, axis can be the center, the point. Anyway, I don't know how they all connected. I don't know where they are actually. I've never been. But anyway, let's not get too worried about how they are located. I'll let you all go and do the research and tell me on that. Because for me, I'm more interested in becoming a better devotee. So, text 5. I mean, it's not that you shouldn't know, just that I don't have the information. Text 5. Munaya sadhu pristoham bhavadvi lokamangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Yenatma suprasidati. It's a very important point here. No? That means anything is connected. Again, the main thing is nirvanda Krishna sambandha. So it must be connected to Krishna. So then if it's connected to Krishna, then it becomes yenatma suprasidati. It becomes pleasing to the self. And this self is the soul, the spirit soul. That therefore it says completely satisfying the self. Not otherwise. Okay. So he respects the words of the sages. Yeah, and therefore he glorifies them, saying, "O sages, O Munaya." So it is said like that he is very respectful and is very happy about the question they are. And then the question they ask are good because for the benefit of the world, what is auspicious for the world? And that is what they are asking. Because they are asking questions related to Lord Krishna. So therefore, all kinds of questions. Therefore, Krishna, samprashna. That means all kinds of Krishna. Why is that good? Because such questions about Krishna, you become satisfied. We all become satisfied. The intellect becomes satisfied. And also, because he has experienced it also. That by such questions alone, he becomes satisfied, so the whole world will be satisfied also. So therefore, the soul is satisfied. Understand? So, yenatma suprasidati. Okay. So now we go to text 6. Now all these verses you all should memorize, particularly from 6 onwards. But if you want to memorize the whole chapter, it's fine. Okay. Savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhakti adokshaje ahai tuki apriti yata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So, this is the first question. Answer to the first question. Okay? That the sages asked. You can say it also answers the second question.
Any
the sages ask him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people, the people in general, might easily take it up. Okay? The essence of all the scriptures is that the highest dharma for anyone who is a human being is what? Loving devotion. So, particularly for us, how do we do that?
Chanting,
hearing and chanting. Yeah. So that's pumsam for human being. So the highest paro dharma for pumsam, for particularly now after Krishna has left, right? So it is meaning hearing and chanting about the Lord. Okay. So this is the only means for attainment for final perfection of life, and this is reiterated in the sixth canto also. Okay. Where it says dharma para smritaha, it's in the sixth canto, third chapter, 22nd verse. So paro dharma bhakti yoga, sixth canto. Six three twenty two. So any process they after excluding all the different processes, they come to the conclusion that the para dharma is the main thing, and that is the essence is bhakti yoga, which will give us yatha bhakti, which is prema bhakti. Okay. And it arises spontaneously, so it is causeless. So ahaituki. Now you don't find any kind of mixed bhakti. This statement is talking about pure. Everything is pure. So when we practice sadhana bhakti, we should come to the stage of prema bhakti. Yeah. Beginning stage is sadhana bhakti, mature stage is prema bhakti. Both are called bhakti. Okay. Okay, let's continue. Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, in the last paragraph, we have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. That is the reason why he has denoted it as occupation. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Now, in the Vedas, right, it talks about both aspects. You know, you can live a sense enjoyment life also, but the goal is not to have sense enjoyment. So, in the beginning, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about the two marga. Pravritti mark and nivritti mark. So you need to know that also. Pravritti and nivritti. One, you take up the process of karma kanda, which is for sense enjoyment. And so ultimately you dry up doing karma kanda activities. Then you take up bhakti. The other one is the path of renunciation. So Prabhupada says of the two, the path of renunciation or the path of sacrifice is superior. Yeah. So that is why even when Lord Brahma, when he first sat in the lotus, he was instructed to perform tapasya, austerity, renunciation, like that. anyway, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says how difficult material life is. And he keeps saying there's no happiness. And earlier on, he said, no point arguing people who don't accept it. But at the same time, he wants to emphasize that for those who can.
Take it.
Yes, those who can accept it. Okay. There's two ways he is preaching here. Okay. One is he says, there's no point arguing when people don't know. So people who think like that, they'll say, okay, then they'll continue reading it. You understand? So then when they come again, he'll say, this life is not really. So he constantly, he reveals to them that actually life is miserable. Hmm? Like if I keep pestering you about the same thing, you'll feel miserable also. No? Right? Yeah, so you're right. He is being truthful. And by revealing the truth, then you realize it is miserable. But then he can do that. I mean, try to understand. The way he does this, everything is, as I said, is from the Puranas, paraphrasing the Shastras, Shlokas. And this commentary, the way he, and from previous Acharya commentary, can only be done by a Mahabhagavat. Okay? We can write and preach, but we cannot speak like that. We can borrow and use it in our preaching, but it's not possible. So
one thing I noticed is sometimes I'm just reading from the book and people say it is a very good class, as if it came from me.
But you are just reading.
Just reading.
Yeah, because they are getting the pure devotee, they are hearing, so, and you are representing the pure devotee. Okay, so when you read through this, you understand he keeps saying material existence is temporary, illusory and full of miseries. Then he keeps saying again, there's no happiness at all. Then he says, futile attempt to get rid of miseries. Everything's temporary. Falsely called happiness. So why is that? It's because of the modes. Right? As we are covered by the modes, you can say we think or we see things differently. So for someone who has everything and someone who doesn't have everything, they start to compare and say he is better off. And so it becomes a false notion to think that is my goal or that is the standard of happiness. But actually he or she doesn't know that person, even though he has everything, he's still suffering. He may be miserable. And Prabhupada used to say, you can have everything, but if you can only eat two chapatis, it doesn't matter what you have. You can be a poor guy, you eat two chapatis, you're satisfied. A rich man, two chapatis and satisfied. It doesn't change. And so material life is like that. Eh? It's full of temporary, illusory and misery. Yeah.
So if somebody is in the mode of ignorance and they are reading or somebody is reading and they are hearing, so what exactly happens? How does that, because they are still seeing from the mode of ignorance lens, so at what point does the lens crack and the
doesn't happen immediately, of course. First is denial. First it's denial, so they will fight it first. But my point, what I want to say is to help such people, we give our association. And we are also practicing it. And if we don't feel miserable practicing it, then it will break the illusion. Yeah. But if you don't want to practice it, and then you feel everyone is doing, I also should do, but you feel unhappy doing it falsely, then it will not help them. Right? So the point where it breaks is the association. Through association, they will see through the eyes of the other devotees. And they hear all the good things and then it will break the illusion. Yeah. Because these are all concepts that is binding us, the chains, modes of material nature is holding us. So by through association, those gunas give up. So then you can appreciate better. And you know yourself also, how you viewed life before and how you are viewing life now. So where was the change? How it changed? So you can't really put a point in saying it changed at this time. No, it's a gradual thing. Prabhupada says that also. This gradually we become purified. But the to take up the process to gradually get purified means there must be a faith established at some point. And that establishment of that is where the devotees play the key role to show that this is worth it. So you may approach someone and they will argue with you, that's fine, but you approach them again always in a very loving manner. So one day it will break. But if your intent is to help them, yes, you will help them. But if your intent is to count how many I collected this month and so on, then it may not help. Now, honestly, if you preaching is not for, we are not here to see how many I converted, because ultimately you are not doing it. Okay? Nobody is doing you. We just help Krishna. This Paramatma in the heart is the one who actually purifies them. Yeah, we are just instrument. And our purification is what? How do we help the other person?
We become sincere.
No, you actually pray for them. Right? Why are you then going to preach to people? Why are you preaching to people then? If you don't really care for them, then why are you doing it? There won't be effect, no? You have to think, this guy is suffering, I have to help them give Krishna. And you may not really understand completely the compassion completely, but if you feel that you want to help them, then the Lord understands then, so He reciprocates.
Sometimes we may also have a lens, this person seems good, let me help him. This person may be...
Yeah, but that is the, you need to discriminate also, otherwise they will commit offenses. Again, that is compassion. If you let the person commit offense, then he will never come to Krishna. So then you are responsible for that.
Going back.
Yes. So you see the person is favorable or not. If not favorable, don't push it, because he will get lower in next lifetime. So don't want to do that. Just always have a very nice relationship so that they, it leaves a good impression. Impressions are like samskars, you know. So that's it. That's something we all have to cultivate. That not just only when we go to preach, someone new only we preach nicely to them. Then with devotees we like, doesn't work like that. Practice makes perfect. So if you deal lovingly and genuinely, then you can be genuine with others also.
So you have to be always.
Honest.
Always like that.
Yes, always like that.
Not like only preaching.
Yeah, not only preaching. Yeah. Sometimes you preach to someone and they become your god brother, and then after you don't like them. Before that, every day meeting. After that, they now see them only run that way. So, what is our preaching then? Then we are no different from them, you know. It's not good. We have to change that. It's, you know, then you can attract the Supreme Lord also, because you are compassion, real compassion. Otherwise, we'll have to come back just to clear that kind of feeling in the heart. You have to take birth just to clear those things. So why come back, right? So ultimately we have to see that we are, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, dasa anu dasa das. So that mood has to be cultivated from the very beginning. And then you won't have any problems relating with anyone. So yeah. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Why? Because such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Because you cannot be satisfied, so you want to enjoy some more. So you hanker for more. And when you hanker, you create more karma reactions and so on. So it increases your... You take birth again, because you need to enjoy those things. So Krishna allows you to come back again. So the better occupation is to follow Nivritti Mark, where we do devotional service. where unnecessary desire, fruitive action are all minimized. Okay. Then you can come to the platform of Yayatma Suprasidati. Text 7. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So if you take up Pravritti Mark and perform devotional Nivritti Mark and perform devotional service, immediately one acquires Jnanam and Vairagyam. Causeless, just like that. Ahaitukam, on its own. So sometimes you know this is wrong, this is right. Sometimes the Lord in the heart reveals to you. Shouldn't be doing that. So knowledge will be revealed, Divya Gyan. And you also, then you will take up the process seriously. I don't want to eat so much. Become detached from things that doesn't help you in your Krishna consciousness. You become more discriminatory in your execution. Because as you want to please Krishna, then those extra things that you have materially, it becomes meaningless for you. The taste goes away. Right? Krishna says where in the Bhagavad Gita? Paramdhasya. Vishaya Vinirvartante. Yes. So that's very important to know. When you know how to discriminate properly, then you'll find all those other desires will go away. Material desires will go away. And that's another thing, you remember in the chapter 1, Prabhupada writes, how you know your, how whether you are advancing or not. Yeah, it's a litmus test. How much material desires you have, you know. It's like you bought your house and everything, but after 6 months you see another house, then what in your heart, how you feel? I wish I had bought this one. If you feel like this, means you haven't got purified of that thing yet. But if you look at all the others and say, I'm not interested, you know, I'm satisfied with what I have, that means you have finished that thing already. But you have to be careful because desires have a funny way of coming back. It does. Huh? Because we are not sufficiently purified, for one thing, or we associate with the wrong things. So when you reassociate with people with too much desires, bad desires, then you invoke the seed of their association gets into your heart and you get the same desire. Right? When you want to be a drunk, means you associate with drunkards. So same, you associate with people who are always talking about share market and so on. One day you say, I'll give you money, why don't you invest for me? It happens. So therefore you have to be very careful in the association.
Yes, Prabhupada says that even if you have the desire to eat gulab jamun, you have to come back.
Anyway, if you are sincere devotee, Krishna will not worry so much for one gulab jamun. I mean, I feel that way, that he's not that harsh. You know. At least I feel that way.
If it is only that,
yeah. I think your god sister had a desire for a tomato. No? So, and I was thinking, you know, just a tomato. Would Krishna just send her just for one tomato? I don't think so. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful. Yeah.
As pastors, we think about, okay, we'll save for this education, this and that. So desires are always there.
Yeah, you see, we were talking with yesterday, one devotee gentleman came. So, yeah, it's not wrong to devise a plan, but to keep worrying about it all the time would not change, because you may think, oh, I need 100,000 for this thing, but then in 6 months, the 100,000 may not be enough. Then you're going to revise the plan again. So, some plan must be there, but you cannot totally focus your life into worrying about every minute details behind it. It will not work, because the flux in the material nature is too much. You cannot cope with it. It's not possible. You know, if within 6 months the stock market crash, then what do you do? All your investments zero now. What are you going to do?
Keep adjusting.
Huh? What are you going to do? Let's say the whole world, all the stock market, everything gone. Then what? Slowly all the powers shut down. Then what are you going to do? Most people who don't have spiritual knowledge will commit suicide. Yeah, because they don't know an alternative. So that's why it's important for us to follow nicely, because when you have faith in Krishna and set good example, they will think this is a better alternative. And they will also, if you are happy, they will say, these guys are always happy, even when the stock market crash. Isn't it? Huh? They might get, but at the same time they will think, why these guys are happy? Huh?
Don't even know it crashed.
Yeah, exactly. Don't even know it. Yeah, you should be transcendental to.
This is the other side of not planning, can be also irresponsibility. Right,
why? Did I say don't plan?
Yeah, exactly. That's why you said. I'm just noticing that you said you have to plan.
You plan something, but don't become so engrossed into that your life is. Every day checking
the bank
balance or stock, went 2%, or better sell, buy, sell, nonsense, you know.
Keep adjusting for the inflation.
I mean, all these things are waste of time. That's one thing. The other thing is, if your karma is like a certain thing, you can't change it. So, better to depend on Krishna, who can change it. Isn't it? So if you are sincerely serve your Guru Maharaj and you have some stock in the market, right, but you're more sincere, you are not so much interested, then Krishna can make it into $1 billion or $1 million for you when you, and you will not be attached to it anyway, you know, like Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. But don't worry, you won't get $1 billion. Krishna won't give that much because we are not ready. Yeah, when you are ready and you are surrendered, then you'll give and you don't want it. Yeah. Dhruva Maharaj, yeah. That's the way it is, you know. So that's why you will know as you are making advancement how much you are worried about material life as opposed to spiritual life. Yeah, you plan for your children. Who said don't plan, you know? The planning according to Vedic system is give them Krishna consciousness. That is the plan. Yeah. So you give them Krishna consciousness and after that they make their own future. You cannot go and babysit them when they are 30 years old or 40 years old. That's not the right thing to do. You go get ready to take up vanaprastha. In our society nowadays it's not, you know. Most people, they get married and they have children and they then get angry with their parents if they don't take care of their children. Okay, that's one case. The second case is the parents take care of the children and they raise them just like they raise their own sons, and then the parents don't like that. They'll tell, why are you raising them like that? You know, I wanted my children to be free. You treated me so harshly and now I want them to enjoy and this and that. So I've seen all these cases. It doesn't work like that, you know. Krishna conscious, you give them Krishna conscious, you do your best, at the age of 16 or 18 you have no more control actually. Because whatever they do, they take the karma. But if you support them, then you share some karma. Like your son grows up and does or, you know, takes drugs and then you know and then you don't correct it and he lives under your house, then you share some of those karma. So there's that thing there, but the most thing is what? Yayatma supresidati. If you can focus on devotional life and really give that to the best of your ability, and if they take it up, great, you are successful in raising a good child. But if they don't take it up, then it's not good. Now within society you may think, oh, I want my child to be a doctor, engineer, this. All these are actually not the goal of life. The main thing of raising a child is to make them a good individual. And based on their desire, they will become whatever they pick and choose in the society. You tell them, you if you want good career, you work hard, study hard. But you don't choose a career for them, because how do you know what he or she wants? Unless you are very elevated, then you can see. Hmm? What is that book? Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that story. No. Devadeva. I told you how to read, no? Yeah. Yeah, I sent it also. So there you can see how the father was very intelligent enough to see the qualities of the son. And accordingly, he encouraged his son in that way. Ultimately the son became a pure devotee. But he never forced him. But most Indians will force their children. It's true. Huh? Yeah, I'm saying most Indians, but for force, for material reasons.
But Prabhuji, I have one thing to add to that. So only since they did force us to a little bit, we are here now, right?
It's true, but you see, the dynamics of your life in India is different from the dynamics here. So when you apply the same principles, it won't work. The association is different. There the culture is different. Here there's no culture.
The same dynamics which are applicable at our time
is not applicable. Yeah, exactly. It changes. So therefore, if the karma of that child is certain thing, you cannot change that also. But rather you have to help the person cope with their karma. That is the intelligent way of doing things. So when you, let's say your parents are pious, generally the child will be pious because the parents are pious. Unless there are some circumstances, you know. Pious parents having demon child, that's very rare, you know, it's situation like that. But in general, that's it. But then when you come here, the environment is totally different. And your consciousness changed also from the time you grew up in India and here. And so your consciousness is different, so you attract a different living entity into the garbha. So just think about all that when you raise the child. Accepted? Yeah? Yeah, so it's a challenge. And so oftentimes I tell them, don't force the children, because you'll find that if you don't know how to guide the child, it will end up fighting with the child. No? Isn't it? Unless you really have a good relationship. I think I've read it, I think Prabhupada or someone mentions it, or I may have heard somewhere, that in the beginning you're strict with the child, you know. Then after 5 years, I think from first 5 years you are relaxed, loving relationship. After 5 years, at least for the male child, you have to be very strict, so that they will understand what is right and wrong, do's and don'ts. And then after 16 years old, then you become their friend. Chanak Pandit, okay, so I write it Chanak. So that's Prabhupada, maybe he quotes that also. But that's how it is. It's particularly, he emphasizes for men. But nowadays, you have to do that for girls also. Otherwise, they are all like acting like men also. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. So you have to guide very strictly in some sense, you know. So, immediately, if you do it sincerely, if you perform devotional activity, immediately you will have causeless knowledge and detachment. What is this causeless knowledge? It means you will understand the things that you will do for Krishna. Immediately you say, I want to do this for Krishna. So it'll appear in your heart, I want to do this for my guru, for Krishna, for the movement. You'll think about preaching and so on. So this is the causeless knowledge, and it'll give you the ability to do those things also. And if you're not sure, it'll be revealed to you. You may read some purport, and Prabhupada will talk about those things that is in your heart. And then you'll say, wow. Okay, so, yeah. Yeah, but it's samskara, you know. If you practice those things, the child is going to see that, and it will influence them to a greater extent than if you don't do it. Okay, I'll tell you my own experience is when I was traveling. I was in one temple, and the kids and teenagers, they would come and you know, they'll talk and so on. So, at one year, the kids came to me, teenagers. They were, these are a couple of girls, and so they were saying, you know, we like you because you know you are very strict about certain things. And I just, okay, you know, they will talk, let them talk. Then they are saying that, you know, our parents don't do this. They start talking about their own experience. And then they start telling about every individual, because they go to every house. So they say, this person don't do this, this person breaks this principle, this person watch porn, this person drinking. And I was like, what? Yeah, so these are kids. And they learn. And because they were influenced by all this, they were not happy. They say they are all hypocrites. And then, I'll tell you, three of the girls, when they were much older, they all fell down. They broke principles and they left the movement. And of that three, two came back. They are still, but then they went through so much difficulties. Because the parents did not show them that this is good. Rather, it was forced on them. It's like, I force you, but I myself don't do it properly. It's a double standard. So the child is so intelligent, the child thought, no, you're not going to do it. So they used to go, and they come and tell me also that we went to a pub. We were drinking. Last night we went to a pub. I'm like, why you do all this? You know it's wrong. Yeah, but you know, actually we saw this devotee there also. We saw this devotee, we saw like three or four people they named, you know, and I was like, wow. So, it's very difficult to do devotional service. But on top of that, if you don't do good examples, then it doesn't help much. It is difficult, but we have to also have some good examples also. So, parents' position is very important. So, yeah, you may be very good devotee, your husband could be very good also, but if you don't show your son that you are happy in it, he may not want to take it up. Isn't it? He can feel it. Also, my parents are not happy. So, this is not the thing for me. I don't want to be happy. I want to be happy. Yeah. It is, isn't it? Yeah. But if you are happy doing it and you always show them that you want to go and do service, then they also will formulate those things. But at the same time, you can't neglect the child. Because the child will think you're giving me up for Krishna, then he'll become inimical towards Krishna. So, therefore, your role as parents is more, very important than if you can take care of your son more and cultivate him, give Krishna, then that is your devotional service. That if he accepts Krishna and takes initiation, then you have done your duty. But, you know, if otherwise, then you have missed Guru Nasa Shishya and all those things. So it's a tricky thing as parents, but if you do your best, at the end your child says, I don't want to be devotee, that's, you didn't do anything wrong. You gave everything. It's not your fault anymore. Yeah. But at least you know, you should know that you did your best raising the child in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And at a certain point, you cannot force your son anymore. You have to start talking logically, you know. And then he or she will tell you many things, why you do this, then you do that, then you do this. Then you must have good answers. You know. So it will happen, because I've seen all this with parents. You know, they will say in front of others, they will argue with their parents. Yeah, but you did this, I saw you do that. Yeah. Because they are not happy in the way they are raised sometimes. So it's important, you know. So it's good practice to sit and, you know, talk to the kids and say, okay, you know, this is why I do. You have any issues with that? And be a friend in a sense. Guiding is very important. Giving good samskara is very important. So all that must be there. So after a certain age, you can pull and say, do. But after that, you cannot. Right? And then when they are young, you tell them to chant, they will chant. But once they turn 14, 15, they will say, eh. Right? And then they'll tell you, my friends are watching this, going to movie, why I can't do that. What is your answer? So you must have good reasons, good answers. And then if they can't listen, then you have to pray. Ultimately you pray and say, Krishna, what have I missed? It's a challenge. It is, you know, I don't envy parents, you know. Especially nowadays, it's very difficult. So I don't know. Very difficult. So yeah, so if you deny, as you raise your child, you deny them something, you have to give them something in return. Because even though, you know, Prabhupada talks about nivritti mag, it doesn't mean you negate everything. We're not in that process, you know. We actually give them something higher taste, yeah. Right? Like if you, in America, the kids go to school and so on. So they cannot eat in the cafeteria. So you must give them something nice prasad that they can eat, or something equivalent that they can say, hey, I have also, you know. So you have to be able to cater to that need, right? So like American diet is what? Burgers and so on. So you give them what? A vegetarian burger, you become expert in cooking just to cater to your son or daughter, to show them that, yeah, there's alternatives and it can be better. Like that, health-wise, this, that. So many ways. Yeah, it is a challenge. Nobody said it's easy. Yeah, but those things must be there. That you can plan. That's what you need to plan. Figure out how to give Krishna consciousness. When are we stopping? Okay, so we'll have...
Just go along, right? Just finish it off.
1 hour. Take a break. Alright, I'll call you back in 10 minutes.
Never 5-10 minutes.
No, I'll start in 10 minutes. Okay, so take a break.
11:50.
Yeah.